Where are things heading in terms of the next generation of adjuvant trials and specifically the issue of bevacizumab, and how is that impacted by the CALGB study?
The upcoming trial is going to compare chemo alone, and I call it chemo du jour because there is literally a choice of regimens, versus chemo plus bevacizumab. So patients will receive 4 cycles of chemo, either alone or with bevacizumab, grafted onto the chemo and then continued for a full year, bevacizumab alone. The research community has taken the CLGB data to heart, and the carboplatin regimen has been struck.
What are your thoughts in terms of what you think the safety will be of bevacizumab in the adjuvant setting? And can you also comment on some of the data that's come out further defining thoracic hemorrhage and other issues with bevacizumab?
Well, the 4599 remains a landmark trial. It's the first phase 3 to show a survival advantage in treatment-naive advanced disease for any sort of targeted agent. For the first time in the cooperative group setting, we've pierced the one-year barrier, median survival that exceeds a year, two-year survival that exceeds 20%. We've never seen that in cooperative group trials and certainly not in phase 3 trials. The big problem, of course, for ECOG 4599 with the restrictive eligibility criteria, patients with brain metastasis were excluded, those with squamous histology, those with any sort of antecedent hemoptysis, those requiring ongoing therapeutic anticoagulation. Low-dose Coumadin was allowed, but higher systemic doses, those with any sort of clotting diathesis. We actually did a retrospective analysis of our patient population at Fox Chase and reported this a couple years ago at ASCO, and at least half of the patient population would ordinarily be candidates for a typical upfront chemo-naive phase 3 trial could not have gone on to ECOG 4599.
And what were the key factors, the main factors that made?
It was the whole mix, probably 20% squamous histology, 15 to 20% brain metastasis, performance status issues. A fairly sizable percentage of patients have clotting diathesis. It's not uncommon. It's common in solid tumors in general. It's particularly common in epithelial malignancies. So the adjuvant trial, the big problem, of course, in the initial randomized phase 2 was bleeding, and that was observed primarily in squamous cell patients, hence the exclusion of squamous patients from the phase 3. At ASCO, they did an updated analysis of pulmonary hemorrhage in the setting of ECOG 4599. Just to give you some background, there was roughly a 2% incidence of fatal pulmonary hemorrhages, fatal hemorrhages that may or may not have included bleeding from the lungs. They tried to identify some peculiar uniform factor that would predict for hemorrhage. Basically, they couldn't come up with it. Number one, the numbers are very small. That the only correlation that existed were patients who had pre-existing central cavitating lesions. A lot of this is going to be moot in the adjuvant setting. By definition, there's going to be no in situ cancer in the chest. They'll have been resected. Presumably, they'll have R0 resections. By definition, none of these patients will have brain metastasis. I can guarantee you're going to have to screen these patients with a brain scan, preferably a brain MRI. In some of the older studies, that wasn't typically or uniformly done, but thinking anybody gets bevacizumab, it's mandatory. So those two factors are no longer operative. The issue of therapeutic anticoagulation, I think, is still in play, but I doubt that would significantly limit the accrual to the study.